This idea of Thanksgiving, and I think it's a very legitimate pursuit. And before we get started in it, we will look to the Lord in communication. But I was thinking about this, that how it's taught and how it's usually taught, and then I was thinking about how I'd like to teach it, and I realized that it fits almost perfectly with the series that we're on currently in the morning service, and that's the filling of the Holy Spirit. It fits right in with that. So we're going to take a little detour from the filling of the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about Thanksgiving and the attitude of being thankful, and then we'll hopefully resume that which we had planned 2 weeks ago. By the way, Barbara staying home, in a sense, is a testimony, because if you are really sick, we're asking you to do that too. We'll give you sick leave from church, and we appreciate that too. So before we get started, since I took a poke at him, would you mind opening us in prayer?
Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have once again to meet with the saints, to exercise our spiritual gifts, and to be taught by your word, that we can live our lives the way that we have.
Now, even in the secular world, in the secular world, you have many ingrates, meaning non-thankful people. But even in the secular world, away from the idea of spiritual things, people have the idea that you should be thankful. Hence, we have one of our legitimate national holidays is Thanksgiving. It is something that you're taught if you have good parents. Your parents taught you as you were growing up that say thank you, may I say thank you, and that has been called in my family, is called the magic word, to say thanks. And so even as a human, when you do something for somebody, you automatically think, you know, they should thank me. Even when you're driving on the freeway, if it's real crowded and you make a real effort to let somebody in that looks like the miserable, and you let them in, you really, I look for them to wave to me or to acknowledge that I did something for them. And so when you do something for somebody, it's natural, or should be natural. I know our society is getting out of these kinds of concepts, but it's a polite society. You say thank you. Now, it also is true in Scripture. We're going to see today that God has given us so many things that He just wants us to say thank you. And He wants us to be genuine. Now, if you'll turn to Romans, the first chapter, and the 21st verse, it being thankful is not a natural thing. Now we've moved over into the spiritual realm. It is not natural for any human being to be thankful to God for what He's done. That is not natural. I'm going to prove it to you. Romans, the 21st chapter and the 21st verse. Now, this is actually talking about a generation, it's eight people, who got off the ark, and they all experientially knew God. Now, watch, verse 22. Because when they experientially knew God, they glorified Him not as God. They didn't. They got used to it. And neither were thankful because of their vain imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. So this is talking about Noah, his wife, and his three sons as they get off the ark and their first habitation here on earth. And after a while, He saved us through the flood. Big deal. They weren't thankful. That's the natural state of man. And in fact, if you'll go over to Ephesians, the fifth chapter and the fourth verse, we can see that one of the signs of carnality is being unthankful. Now watch how when we get to being thankful, how we're going to approach this a little different than some. Now in verse 3 of the fifth chapter of Ephesians, you have a whole list of things that, I'll just read it. But fornication, flesh, and uncleanness, flesh, covetousness, which is idolatry, flesh, let not be named once among you as becometh saints. Neither, now this word for abstinence here, or the word filthiness, has the idea of acting in an indecent manner, lewd manner, or foolish talking. Now, in the context of a Christian, foolish talking is talking about scriptural and spiritual things as though you're an unsaved person. Let me do it another way. You call spiritual things from the same perspective as an unsaved person. That's a moronic talking. This word for jesting has the idea of coarse behavior. All of these are describing, I'm in Ephesians 5, verses 3 and 4. All these are describing behaviors of unsaved people. Now, in contrast to that, what does he say in the last part of verse 4? But rather, giving of thanks. You see, the indications of carnality are all this list that he says that he doesn't want that named among Christians. And then he says, but you need to be thankful. So obviously, that thanksgiving or having the attitude of being thankful is in the realm of being spiritual, of emanating things from the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to prove to you today that the preachers that... Now, remember, I've been in 100 different Baptist churches, so you can't tell where I got this from. But I've heard people teach, you got to be thankful. They go to Ephesians 5:10, in all things be thankful. And then they'll go to, I can get it, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in all things be thankful. And then they go and they tell you, you know, well, you just need to be thankful. That's what you tell your kids, isn't it? Hey, I gave you this. Be thankful. That's not the way it works. You can't just be thankful on your own. I cannot just say, oh, I better be thankful. Thankfulness is what we're going to develop today. Thankfulness is the result of a correct family relationship. When I am correctly related to the Father, no sins in between. As we used to say in the South, fessed up. And I am determined to please the Father. I now have the Holy Spirit available to me. Now, let's go in this passage where we were in Ephesians, the 5th chapter. We've been over this with the filling of the Spirit. Now, I want to remind you of a few things. In verse 18, it's talking about some of those behaviors that we looked at earlier in the chapter that are indicate that somebody is carnal. Then he gives the alternative that would, carnal meaning emanating or showing forth things of the flesh, spiritual meaning showing forth things of the Spirit. So the opposite of being dominated by the flesh is being filled by the Spirit. And in verse 19 and 20, get this, that's not spirit filling. It's results of spirit filling. Now, we spent 1.5 Sundays showing you that verse 19 is describing an effervescent or a bubbly heart. A heart meaning that heart has the symbolic meaning of mind, will, and emotion. Let me say it another way. Verse 19 is a description of a Christian with their emotions in full control. Emotions are not bad. Emotions are only bad when they dominate logic. But in verse 19, the Holy Spirit, as a result of the filling of the Spirit, will help you have those emotions aligned to where they should be, and you'll have an effervescent heart. All of these descriptions of this effervescent or bubbly heart are also compatible with the fruit from the Spirit. In other words, when the Holy Spirit is making up what is lacking in our thinking, it's generally that we don't have our emotions under control. And so this is a description of having emotions under control. I'll read verse 19, but we're going for verse 20. Speaking to yourselves, this is all intro. This is all inside you. Speaking to yourself in the idea of praise and worship and spiritual songs, singing and making melodies, psalming it in your heart to the Lord. These are not necessarily words. These are just emotion that is just, everything is copacetic. Everything is, that's the way it should be. It's, all the pieces of the puzzle are fitting. Then that brings us down to verse 20. Now, what I want to show you is there's actually three different phases of thanksgiving. One is to have a mental attitude of thanksgiving, which we've already shown you. Two is to have thanksgiving in your heart, where you actually or have the concept of thanksgiving in your heart. And then we're going to show you later, the third phase in this is we're supposed to articulate it to the Father. Okay? Here, let me just tell you where this is going. You human beings are a bunch of sorry people who are never thankful to God. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to save you. I'm going to regenerate you by the means of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to have you born again into the family of God. And when you're in the family of God, I want you to appreciate being in the family so well and so distinctly that you turn around and thank me for being your Father. And God likes that. One thing I can show you, and you'll see it today. One thing, God the Father, we more than this, but one thing we can prove for sure is that God the Father likes to be thanked. But he doesn't like to be thanked on our own cognizance or on our own determination. He likes to be thanked because we're correctly related to him, and therefore the Holy Spirit gives us a heart that has this effervescent feeling. Verse 19, speaking, or verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto, now watch the order, unto thee God, that it be God and the Father, in the character, watch that. Name isn't just Jesus, Lord Jesus Christ. No, name means in the character, Lord, that Christ is the Lord of your heart. Jesus, the God-man who died for your sins. Christ, the glorified and risen one. And in that character, when we approach the Father, that's the kind of a thanksgiving that he wants. But do you see the order here? First, my perspective has to be in order, which is part of the having my new heart, controlling my emotion, under control. And then, we haven't seen it yet, then I can approach the Father with those thoughts. Now, you have a parallel situation over in Ephesians, the third chapter, or excuse me, Colossians, the third chapter. We haven't gotten to this chapter this far down in the chapter yet. We're in the first four verses, and we'll resume that on next Sunday, Lord willing, and Antifa doesn't take over Portland, but that'll be in next Sunday. And over in Colossians, the third chapter, we're going to start the 16th verse. This is a very parallel situation. Now, just so you know that the context here, up in verse 12, you have these are all parts of the further spirit. Verse 12, you have kindness. Verse 12, you have meekness. Verse 12, you have long suffering. Verse 14, you have love. Verse 15, you have peace. So this is talking about somebody that is rightly related to the Father and to the Holy Spirit. And we come down in the context of Colossians, the third chapter and the 16th verse. Let the word consider thee Christ. Now, this is one of the places I would take the article to mean the body of Christ as related to the head. And the reason for that is, if you go back up to verse 11, which should read, in him there is neither Greek nor Jew. It's talking about how the body of Christ operates as Christ is the Lord, as the head of that body. So now down to verse 16. Let the concept or the precept or the theses concerning the Christ, the body as it's related to the head, be indwelling in you richly. Now this indwelling means that it's at ease. This isn't something that you just did in your mind once or twice a month. This is something that is a perpetual, this is a habitual propensity to have this relationship. So let the relationship of as a member to the head be at ease in you, verse 16, richly in all wisdom, by teaching and by warning. That's what admonishment means. Yourselves by praise, worship, and human songs, singing by the grace, where? In your hearts to the Lord. So the what it's describing is somebody rightly related to the Father has elements of the facets of the fruit of the Spirit that are cognizant in their thinking. And when we come down then to verse 17, that's the context. Let me tell you where I'm going. I know I've sat in Baptist churches, over 100 of them. I can prove that. And I have heard preachers get up there and say, you need to be thankful, just like my mama used to tell me. It didn't stick all the time with my mama. And it won't stick if you are thankful just because you determined to be thankful. It's part of the results of an effervescent heart. It's part of the results of being rightly related to the Father and thus the Holy Spirit. So verse 17 then can be applicable. And so whatever you craft in word or in work, do all in the character and quality of Lord Christ as the head of the body, and Jesus the one who died for your sins, giving thanks to God, even the Father, through Jesus Christ. Oh, that's how you do it. So I, as a person, cannot go out. Maybe it was Sunday school. I was taught this at some of these rascal churches. I cannot just, well, things aren't going in. Thanks. Oh, that was stuff. Thanks. That's not how it is. When you are rightly related to the Father, if you stub your toe, I'm talking figuratively in circumstances, well, this isn't too hot, but what do you want me to learn now, God? Thanks for showing me that. Thanks for that happening. Now, I'm going to show you a little bit later, but I want to say it now. One of the parts of the fruit of the Spirit, it doesn't happen to be mentioned in this section, that's applicable to this is called joy. And we haven't got into the parts of the fruit of the Spirit. We're going to get into those in detail. And Lord willing, and the creeks don't rise, we'll give you a little chart on them as well. The part of the fruit of the Spirit called joy is the ability to have joy no matter what the circumstance is. And I picture it this way. Outside, it's like I'm walking. There's a scene in Saving Private Ryan where just everything, bombs going off everywhere. And I pictured I'm just walking through these bombs going all around me in the world, you know, mental bombs, psychological bombs, spiritual bombs. And I'm just walking along because what's inside me is different than what's outside there. Now, joy is the ability to be in any kind of circumstance, no matter what the circumstance, and to have that, I don't want to use a word to define it, have joy, another one would be to be content in any circumstance. In any circumstance. And that's what it's saying here. Whatsoever you craft. That word for do is, it means that it has to do with your plan and you craft it. In word, with your mouth, or with your work. Do it. Do both. Do both. In the character and quality of Christ as the Lord of your heart and Jesus as though He, the one who died for your sins, giving thanks to the Father through Jesus Christ. Wow. So I can't just go out here and determine to thank God the Father. I have to rightly be rightly related to Him for Him to even hear my thanks. I'm telling you, a lot of people are giving that for the wrong. They're getting that in the wrong reason. Now, another point I want to point out, because the next two are actually very similar. When you, in your spiritual lives, notice that you're being thankful for stuff you used to resent, that's joy, and thanksgiving put together. I would say thanksgiving, it comes out of joy and peace. just as grace comes out of love and mercy. When you start noticing it, it's an indication of maturity. Now, there's two aspects of that. There's more, but don't find a chart that has 10 of them for me. I'm just talking about two today. And one of the things that when you start noticing, man, that doesn't bother me like it used to. Oh, I'm thankful for that irritant that I used to just try to get rid of. It's an indication of spiritual maturity. Well, that makes sense, because if it's an outcome of part of the fruit of the Spirit, then obviously it is. Now, one of the things that it's also an indication at the same time that you are observing the new commandment. Now, I'm not going to go back to the new commandment, but the new commandment has two aspects. That we are to love one another as Christ loved his disciples. Now, that love has a standard. It's a divine standard, which means it's a divine enabling. And it works out that when you trace through how this love is applied, I forgot there's food downstairs. I didn't do anything wrong. That when this food is a food, hey, there's a Freudian one for you there. That when this love is applied, it means, if you put it to its real essence, that when you're fulfilling the new commandment, you'll do whatever you're assigned to do to expedite and facilitate the spiritual growth of any member of the body. Support it physically, support it spiritually, support it through prayer, support it through work. Whatever it takes to help the body members grow spiritually. Now watch the word spiritually. So then when we look at Paul is going to look at his ministry and he says, man, you guys are growing spiritually. And what does he immediately come up with? I'm thankful to the Father. Why is he thankful? We're going to look at these. One, because of his role. Thankful that he had a role in facilitating that. And then he's thankful that they appreciated it and did those things that they were supposed to do. Let's go over to Romans, the 16th chapter. I want you to see some examples of Paul being thankful. And it's because he's rightly related to the Father, thus to the Holy Spirit. And he can have a divine enabling and an effervescence of heart and be able to be thankful for that concern. Now, you have an interesting thing. He has some relatives, and in verse 3 of the 16th chapter of Romans, it says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who for my life laid down their own necks. Really, I don't, if I remember right, neck here is not really, it's not really the word, but the idea here that they tried to put in the word neck is that they didn't get stretched out for the axe. Boom. In other words, they put their necks, figuratively, they were subject to capital punishment. Verse 4, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. So here's Paul, and he's saying, these people, you know, I got a pretty good ministry going here, but look what these people did. I'm thankful for them. When you find, and I find myself, thankful for the brethren. Are you thankful for the brethren? Now, I'm not telling you, go out and just be thankful for the brethren. What I'm saying is, if you notice in your Christian life that you're thankful for the brethren, it is an indication that you're fulfilling the new commandment. Doesn't that make sense? If I want you to grow spiritually and I see some spiritual growth, I should be thankful for it. I should be thankful for it. I'm just using myself, but it's true of anybody. We should be thankful that other people are growing in the full experiential knowledge of Jesus Christ. If you'll turn over to Ephesians, the first chapter, we want to look at the 16th verse. Ephesians, the first chapter, and we're looking at the 16th verse. cease not to give thanks. In this context, he's talking about some people that are doing good. Or verse 15, therefore, let's go back to verse 15. Therefore, I also, after I heard your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and love for all the saints. That's a phrase he's saying. You're fulfilling the new commandment. Verse 16, I cease not to give thanks for you, mentioning of you. Now watch this. This is actually one of the places they get, some people get it right. Mentioning you in while or when or upon the occasion of my worship communication to the Father. This is one place that means worship here. So what he's saying here is when I'm worshiping the Father, I'm telling the Father who he is. Hey, by the way, did you notice those guys over at Ephesus? I really appreciate that they're sticking to the faith as much as they can, or as much as they are. They weren't doing as well as they could, but he was appreciating what they were doing. I gave you many more citations there. You can look them up on your own. I think I'd like to look at 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter and the third verse, because you have there another example of Paul appreciating when other Christians are growing. Do you thank the Lord? Do you find yourself wanting to thank the Lord for other Christians and their growth? Well, that's an indication of a growing in your spiritual life. Verse 3, first chapter, 2 Thessalonians. We ought to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because that your faith is growing exceedingly, and the divine quality of love of every one of you all towards each other abounded. So Paul not only wanted to practice the new commandment, when he saw the new commandment being practiced by others, he was thankful for it. He was thankful for it. Now, again, I'll caution you, he didn't conjure up this thankfulness. He had the same attitude that the Holy Spirit wanted in him had, and looking at it and seeing that that is a righteous, legitimate thing to be done, he was thankful for the fact that they were doing it. If you'll turn over in 2 Thessalonians, the third chapter and the 13th verse, we have some interesting nuance to that there. Second chapter of 2 Thessalonians, the 13th verse. But we ought to give thanks to the God, that would be the Father, for you, brethren, because divinely loved ones by the Lord Christ, because the Father, God, the Father, as from the beginning, chose you in the past to salvation by setting you apart by the Holy Spirit and the belief of truth. I'm telling you, not only are we as Christians to practice the new commandment, but we're to rejoice and be thankful. You see how those two go together. When other people are practicing the new commandment, it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing when other people are practicing the new commandment. Now, so you have a perspective of thanksgiving from the Holy Spirit. You utilize that thanksgiving perspective or the perspective of thankfulness from the Holy Spirit. But now here comes the human responsibility. As a human, now God the Father wants to have me articulate. Now when I say articulate, when most of my communication to the Father probably doesn't have a verb, may not have an object of a verb or whatever. It's trend of thought, because he can read thoughts. But what God the Father does want, he does want us to bring communication to him that includes thanksgiving. And in fact, you have an order of communication. If you'll turn over to Philippians, the fourth chapter, we'll see an order of communication here. Now, you have, for you people with your interlinears, meta with a, and I think it's in the accusative case, should be always translated as after. Verse 5, 4th chapter of Philippians. Let your sweet reasonableness be experientially known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. If you mark in your Bible, put rap out there, because that's talking about the rapture. Don't worry about anything in the spiritual realm. Don't worry about where you're going after this life. And don't worry about whether there's life after this life. If a Christian worries about those two things, they need to come talk to me, because something's wrong. They've been taught wrong. Stop worrying about let your sweet reasonableness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Stop worrying about things. But in everything, by worship. Now, worship is, this is different forms of communication. Now, do I expect you to get out a chart with 5-6 columns of types of communication and go check off when you're communicating the Father? No. And do I think that these communications blur? Yes. But watch the order here. Watch the order of these communications. I'm right in the middle of verse 5. By worship and supplication. Supplication is where you make a request and you don't even know what the problem is, so you don't know what the possible solution is. Now, you see that word with? It should be the word after. Does your interlinear do that? Well, fix it. It's called a meta, and you have it also over in 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. It's meta after the sup. Let's see. Yeah. Not 100% after this cold, but I think it's meta in the accusative. No, it'd be meta in the lid. I don't know. But after thanksgivings, plural, I mean, back, in case you hadn't followed my trend of thought there, we're back over in Philippians 4:5. So you do worship and then supplication after thanksgivings. Almost the majority of all communication to God should be telling Him who He is and thanking Him for who He is. That's Scripture. And here the order is, then after Thanksgiving, let your request be made to God. How many times, and I'm talking about myself, have we gone to Father, I'm in trouble, please help me again. That's not what it's saying here. Father, thank you for me being in trouble. Now that I'm in trouble, will you give me the wisdom to get it right? Not necessarily get out of it, but just get it right. You see the difference here. So thanksgiving then, in terms of communication to the Father, has a high priority. If you'll turn over to 1 Timothy, the 2nd chapter, and in the first verse, you have here another list of types of communication. And whenever you see types of communication in a list and you see the word prayer, it probably in the English means worship. Worship means telling God who He is. Everybody thinks prayer is ask, give me this, give me this, give me this. No, that's only one part of it. But the major part of communication to the Father should be thankfulness and telling Him who He is. He wants to hear that. I'll show you the verse for that in a minute. Verse 1, chapter 2, 1 Timothy. I exhort you, therefore, that firstly of all, supplications. Told you what that was. That's asking for something unknown factor in it. Prayers, that'd be worship. Intercession, intercede. You intercede both for or against someone. Now, I would take verse 2 to go back to intercessions. I'm not, or thanks could be for the kings, but I'm not necessarily worshiping for the kings in verse 2. Do you see what I'm saying? So, the four for the kings goes back to just the parts of the communication, they're applicable. It's not, I'm not worshiping for the king. You can't worship for anybody. You worship for yourself. Okay, back into verse 1. Intercessions and giving thanks be made for all men. Now, on behalf of all men, no. Because we have these other people. Now, I've told you this before. As crazy as the world system is, we're better off having a world system than nothing. Go downtown Portland on Saturday night and see if I'm telling you true. Okay? That's called anarchy. So as terrible as the world system is, it's better than nothing. And so we should be thankful for it. And no matter what happens with these clowns in the world system, I don't know about you, but I know as long as I'm rightly related to the Father, I'm going to be taken care of, and it's going to be good, and I can be thankful for it. It's hard, but I'm even thankful for a pencil neck every now and then. Okay? Now, I think, well, we got time to do one. Talking about this spiritual maturity, there's a couple verses I want to show you. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians, the second chapter. You can see that Paul, when he sees people maturing in their spiritual life, he knows that they're going to be thankful, that they too are, I would call them fellow travelers. Fellow travelers. Let me do it another way. If you're an unthankful, ingrate, I know one thing. You're not spiritual. Oh, he's not doing all those debauchery. He's not living in debauchery. He's not inebriated. No, but if he's unthankful, he's just as carnal. Okay. 1 Thessalonians, the first chapter, or second chapter in the 13th verse. Be nice if I got the right book. But that was a good verse. Okay. Now, let's read verse 12 in 1 Thessalonians 2. That you, now this goes back to he's exhorting his children in the faith. Verse 11, he's exhorting as a father in the faith. And in verse 12, it should read this way, that you order your lifestyle worthy of the Father, who hath called you unto his, that's the Father's kingdom, that's the kingdom of God, salvation and glory. For this cause also thank we God the Father, without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, what you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but you received it, the word of God, in the truth, and the word from God, which effectually works also in you that believe. So they didn't just get saved, they actually started living out their salvation. And living out that salvation here, and Paul says that he is thankful for it. Turn over to Colossians 2:7. Turn back to Colossians 2:7, and you'll see another uptake on this. Now, I want to say this before I read the seventh verse in the second chapter of Colossians. The first six verses have some of the most profound theology in them in the New Testament. And that's what I'm going to be basing verse 7 on. What I'm saying is, verses 1 through 6 describe relationships that we have to God the Son and God the Father in a completely different way than is described any other way, and with a completely stronger influence of the riches. The one word that you can get from that is in verse 3, the treasures. That the treasures that we have as a result of our salvation. Now that brings us down to verse 7. In verse 7, rooted and built up in Him. Now that's referring to the first six verses. And established by the faith, as you have been taught, therein with thanksgiving. You see, when a person is maturing, it's automatic. It's just part of the perspective of being thankful, because the more we reflect on everything that we have in our salvation, the more we realize that we do not deserve anything. We have to be thankful if we're rightly related to the Holy Spirit. Now, why does God want this? Turn back to 2 Corinthians, if you will. 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter and the 15th verse. Now, you have a very interesting context here, too. Paul talking about all the things that he went through, referring to it again. In verse 15, he says, "For all these things," going back up into the being delivered unto death, the Christ being delivered unto death, verse 11, "For all these things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace," remember, grace is not something they're earned. Grace is always something unearned, undeserved, and given by God. It's his attitude when he gives us something. Grace is not a thing. Grace is an attitude of God when he gives you something. "The abundant grace," verse 15, "might through the thanksgiving many rebound." Actually, it's begin to increase to the glory regarding God. It's as though, and I'm putting this in human terms, and I don't mean to belittle God, but it is as though God the Father has designed a system where he has these purely evil human beings regenerated and born again into his family, and he enables them by means of the Holy Spirit, when they're rightly related to him, to have a thanksgiving spirit, a spirit of thanksgiving. And then when they have that, he wants them to tell him that that's what he has. And it's to his glory. It proves who he is. It's him evaluating himself and proving that he did it. And I'm putting this in human terms, God is not human. He enjoys two things we can prove. We've been on the edge of, he enjoys being thanked. Well, as a human parent, you give him Christmas presents, and you give him a present that, in my day, my mom went without eating or something to get for me. And she gives it to you, and you go, "Oh, yeah, I'm sure that's a happy mom." You want a happy spiritual father? Say thanks. But you can't. That's the difference than the mom. "Yeah, mom, I'm really thankful." Didn't want that color. But on a spiritual level, if I'm rightly related to him, I'm going to automatically be thankful. So here it is. Thanksgiving to a Christian is not a holiday. It's a 24/7. Thanksgiving to a Christian is not something they can do on their own, but is something they can be enabled to do, and is an indicator of whether one is rightly related to the three persons. It's an indicator of whether one is fulfilling the new commandment, and it's an indicator of whether one is maturing in their knowledge of Jesus Christ. Shall we bow? Our Father, we do thank you for your word. We do thank you that no matter what happens, if we're rightly related to you, we won't have to conjure up thanksgiving. We will be thankful. We realize that this is a result of having our emotions under control, which we cannot do on our own, which is an enabling of the Holy Spirit. And we thank you for that. Amen. Not